Book of Revelation. We're going to read one verse, Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. We'll read this verse together. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. All right, let's read this verse together. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. I thank you, Father, for the truth that's here. I pray, Father, it would be implanted in our hearts and we would understand the importance of having a godly testimony. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, these saints here are said to have overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Now, if one is to be an overcomer, it starts with the blood of the Lamb. The redemption that is in Christ Jesus, as his shed blood on Calvary, was the purchase price paid for sinful man. It is by the means of the blood of the Lamb and faith in his sacrifice that one is cleansed from all their sin. They are given life for death. They are reconciled to God and made fit for glory. That blood took us from being a child of a devil to being a son of God, and from being overcome by the evil one to being an overcomer. Then the Word of God adds another little statement. And by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. In other words, there was something bigger in life to these people than just being saved. There was something far more important to these folks than just living another day and putting in time. They had a deep-rooted conviction that their testimony mattered more than life itself. Even though they were being persecuted for the faith severely, they did not cave, they did not compromise, and they did not capitulate from their firm belief in the Lord and in his word. You see this very thing in the lives of Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who are willing to suffer the consequences of disobeying Nebuchadnezzar's command to worship the image of gold that was in the valley or the plain of Dura. Upon hearing they would be cast into a fiery furnace, they said to the king of Babylon, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Now these three believed God could deliver them. But if he didn't, they were not willing to make any concessions in order to have their life spared. They were going to do right. They were going to stay right as they stared death in the face. If it was their time to die, they would die with their godly testimony intact. They would not back up, back down, back out, and because of that, they did not burn. But they would be faithful unto death, even if necessary. They would rather die victoriously than live denying the faith that they were to stand for. When their testimony was tested, they were found to be true, rock solid, and steadfast. I want us to take note of the six-word phrase, by the word of their testimony. Dare I say that your testimony has a voice. It speaks. And how true it is that your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. We have all heard that a picture is worth a thousand words. And when it comes to the believer, our testimony is far more powerful than our witness. Now, if our witness is true and our testimony is faulty, folks will not be able to hear us, for our lives will drown out the words which we are speaking. Now, my profession is what I say I am. In Hebrews 4:14, we are told, let us hold fast our profession. And then in Psalm 107, verse 2, it tells us, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Now, it's right for believers to verbally witness of all that the Lord has done for them. But the word of our testimony needs to match the word of our witness, yet oftentimes such is not the case. You may ask, what is meant by your testimony? Well, it is the visible, physical evidence that you have been living as a Christian should. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, it is written, it's man looketh on the outward appearance. You know, the only thing others have to go by is what they see on us on the outside. And the only way they will ever see any indication that we are true believers is if it shows up in the manner in which we live. I remember as an 18-year-old lost sinner sitting in a bar in my hometown, drinking a beer. And this guy came up to me, and he had a beer in his hand, and he asked me if he could talk to me about Jesus. I was enraged. I was like, how dare you come here drinking a beer and want to talk to me about Jesus? I told him, I said, if you don't get away from me in a skinny second, I'm going to mop the floor with you. I ain't got no use for your Jesus. Because if you really believed in Jesus, you wouldn't be sitting here with a beer in your hand. You see, his witness and his testimony were at odds with one another. In Acts chapter 11, verse 26, we read, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now, it doesn't say they called themselves Christians. Those who observed their manner of life did. And because they lived in a Christ-like manner, that's what they were called by. You see, the word of their testimony identified them with our Lord. Maybe we are due an examination of our lives. Perhaps we ought to ask ourselves, as believers, does the word of our testimony speak of Jesus Christ? I hope you who are in Christ and Christ is in you understand that you are to tell the truth about Christ, and it ought to be reflected in our lives. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6 through 8, the Apostle Paul is commending a group of saints for both their word of witness and the word of their testimony. And he writes this by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. He said, not only did you receive the word, not only did you become believers, you embraced it and became good examples of what you're supposed to be. The word of their testimony challenged other believers. By the way, we are told to be examples of what we are to be as children of God. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, we see Paul exhorting Timothy. And notice what he tells him. But be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Now, when he says in words, that's what we say in conversation. That's our speaking. And then when in word, it talks about what we say. You know, then that word conversation, that's in the manner in which we live. And what he's saying, Timothy, you know what? You ought to speak right. But you know what? Your words ought to be backed up by the way you live. In charity, that means love in action or acts of love. In spirit, that means you ought to have a godly attitude. You know, so often we have bad attitudes, don't we? And we are told that we are to guard our spirit. And that depends on us. It's not what people do to us. We need to guard our spirit. What does your spirit say? Some Christians have an unforgiving spirit. Some are jealous. Some are bitter. We're not supposed to have those types of spirits. In faith, that's your trust or dependency upon the Lord. In purity, that's living a clean, moral life. You see, the word of our testimony should speak these things to other people. In the Old Testament book of Exodus, chapter 25, verse 16, the Bible says this, "And thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee." So just what was in the ark? And what did they testify of? Well, what was in the ark was Aaron's rod that budded. And it was there, and it speaks that God chose the family of Aaron for the priesthood. There was also a pot of manna, and it spoke of God supplying the needs of his people in the wilderness wanderings. Then there were two tables of stones with 10 commandments written upon them. Don't you think those things were verbally passed on? Sure. Don't you think these things were evidence that people were to live by, and it was supposed to be backed up by what they lived and showed in front of others? Is it right for us as believers to verbally witness of our faith in Christ? Sure it is. But like the ark of our testimony, there needs to be evidence that backs it up. Otherwise, we're all blow and no show. And we will turn others away from the Savior. God points out to us in our text that there were saints who had testimonies that spake. Our testimonies are to speak that we belong to Jesus. He has made a difference in our lives, and we should love him more than life itself. The word of our witness is one they can hear because it is spoken by us. But the word of our testimony is one that they can see. So let me ask you, if one is lost and they hear a believer say they love Jesus, but they do not the things that he says, are they going to believe what they heard, or are they going to believe what they say? Now, I'm sure you would agree that we don't have a more sure word of testimony that's better than what people see. People will believe what our witness is when they witness our testimony of living for Jesus. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:5 about a man named Enoch. And it is written, before his translation, he had this witness. That's not what it says. Mike, you must be reading your NIV a little bit too much. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he, what? Pleased God. Now, did he run around witnessing to everybody? Hey, I please God. I please God. I please God. Is that what he did? No. He pleased God by his testimony. It was evidenced by the walk he had with the Lord, his submission to his will, and his separation from the evil that was going on around him. What is our testimony like? Do we please him? You know, one thing I've been challenged with recently is getting up in the morning and lifting my head up to the Lord and saying, I want to put a smile on your face today. You know what I'm saying? I want to live so as to please you. Ask yourself, do you manifest the life of Christ? Are we godly? Does our testimony speak of Jesus to others? Are you kind? Here's one. How do you drive in traffic? How do you react when someone cuts you off? Are you giving? Are you forgiving? Are you compassionate, submissive, meek? Do you live to please the Heavenly Father? Do you have an unwavering loyalty to the Scriptures? Are you thankful for all things? And in all things, are you honest? Do you speak the truth? Do you take a stand against sin? Are you willing to love your enemies, comfort the afflicted, suffer for the righteous cause of Christ without complaint? Are you faithful? Do you exude peace and rest in the midst of trials? Do you pattern your life after Jesus? Do you maintain a right spirit about you? Do you have joy? You know, one of the things a pastor gets to look at, he gets to look at the congregation. You know, and I've preached elsewhere, and I look out at the same kind of faces. And I often wonder, what happened to the joy of God's people? Why can't they rejoice in the Lord always? And again, I say rejoice. Now, perhaps it's just because I step behind the pulpit, and they know the sermon they're going to get, and they're all saddened by it. But the fact of the matter is, we ought to have joy. Are you content with your lot in life? With what the Lord has blessed you with? Do you obey the Lord, even if it costs you dearly to do so? Maybe we are not doing what is necessary for the word of our testimony to speak clearly, precisely, and effectively of Christ and his word. Many will listen to our witness of Jesus and the salvation he freely gives, but if our word of our testimony conflicts with what we are saying, we shut the door of heaven to others. I've heard my fair share of believers tell me such things as, I don't have to go to church to go to heaven. I don't have to stop drinking to arrive in that city whose builder and maker is God. I don't have to stop smoking to have a mansion my own. Well, let me say, who said you did? Salvation is by grace through faith in Christ alone. Nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. But you will have to live a life that is holy in order to have a testimony before men. So that when you tell them of the Savior, they think you are credible. Are we not told in 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You may wonder, what promises is Paul talking about? Well, the last two verses of the previous chapter tell us. And they say, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you. Now, he didn't say, I will become your father, for that happened when you got born again and became a child of God. He is talking about the benefits of being a father to us, such as providing for us, such as protecting us, such as preferring us as obedient children. Some so live as the prodigal. Oh, they have a father, but they definitely forfeit the benefits of a father by living riotously in a far country. This matter of cleansing ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit and perfecting holiness in our lives will give us the benefits of the Heavenly Father's care. But folks will be convinced with what is coming from our lips when they match the word of our testimony. In John chapter 12, there was a supper in the village of Bethany where Jesus and Lazarus were in attendance. And much people came. And you know why they came? Because they heard that Lazarus was raised by the dead by Jesus. They heard about it. They heard that Jesus performed this mighty miracle, but now they wanted to see it. Verse 9 says, much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. You see, they wanted to see the evidence of what they heard. And you know what people still want to see? And they expect to see a difference in those who are given life and no longer dead in their trespasses and sin. Those who are lost, they expect you to be different. So don't disappoint them. Live a holy life. Let the word of your testimony ring true. I got saved on a Thursday night. And when I woke up the next morning, I knew I had been changed. I told folks at work that I got saved. And you know what? There was a bunch of other firemen there. It's, oh, I'm saved too. And I thought, well, I would have never known it by the way you live. You never even told me about Jesus. You were doing some of the same things I was doing, and that now you're telling me that you're saved. I told a co-worker who came over Friday night, the next night, and he said, John, it's time to go to the pub, because John always went to the pub every Friday night with this guy. And I looked at him, and I said, John, don't go to the pub no more. I said, John got saved last night. I said, I'm through with that. You know what I started doing? I started reading my Bible. I started going to church. I stopped smoking, drinking, and cussing. I stopped listening to the wrong kind of music. My taste in what I watched on TV changed. I even started to dress differently. I had to go out and buy a whole new wardrobe. Because if it wasn't for bars and cigarette companies, I'd have ran around naked. I witnessed of Jesus. He said, why would you do that? Because I wanted my testimony to match what was coming out my mouth. I experienced a new birth. I got born again. I was given life. And while those I knew heard about it, they needed to see visible evidence of it. Do you remember the maniac of Gadara? He's living amongst the dead, naked, cutting himself, crying out, and tormented by a legion of demons. Then he encountered the Savior. The Savior cast out his demons and saved his soul. He's in his right mind. He's clothed. He's no longer hurting himself. He was different. And the Bible says that he is now sitting at the feet of Jesus in his right mind. And he wanted to be with the Lord. But we read this in Luke chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. Now the man of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away. Notice this, saying, return to thine own house and show how great things. And what? Show. It didn't say and tell. It said and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. When it comes to salvation we have in Christ, we are to tell it and we are to show it. It is said of John the Baptist in John 1:7 that he came to bear witness of the light. And you find him doing just that. Then you read in John chapter 1, verse 29, when Jesus came to him and he said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Now he was given verbal witness of Christ. But when you come to John chapter 5, verse 35, it says this about the greatest man born among women. He was a burning and shining light. That's talking about his testimony. The word of his witness and the word of his testimony were in harmony. So often, our actions deny the truth of our words. And brethren, these things ought not so to be. We may tell them the right stuff, but if what they see in our lives is not in harmony with our words, they will get the impression that we're nothing more than hypocrites. I believe this is the reason so many children grow up in our homes, abandoning the faith, that so many saved spouses don't win their lost mates, and so many can't win their friends and co-workers to the Lord. Because we say one thing and live another. We are to have a testimony that speaks as well as our witness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, Paul writes, ye are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read of all, what? Men. Whether you realize it or not, as a believer, you are an epistle. And others are reading the one that you live. I remember Connie telling me that she got saved. And I thought, it ain't gonna last. It'll be just like so many other hypocritical Christians that I know. I noticed a change in her attitude, her behavior, and her desires. She was forsaking sin and living for the Lord. She went to church faithfully. She was more pleasant to live with. What happened to my thorn? And after observing her for 2 weeks and putting her through the ringer, I realized what she had was real and I wanted it. She was an epistle, read by me, studied by me, one that influenced me for Christ like no other person ever had. Can I ask you something? You are an epistle. Others are reading. Do they know what you have is real? Has anybody ever come up to you and said something like, you know, I know what you have is real? If not, they should. I've had that happen a couple times in my life. I was a doorman at the Broadmoor, and there was another doorman who just despised Christianity. One night I was working with him, and he went on a tirade against Christians. I let him speak his mind, and after he got done, I said, you know, I'm a Christian. He says, yeah, but you're real. You're real. You're not like those other ones I've met. That should be said of all of us. He didn't say you're perfect. because I'm not. But he said, you're real. You live by what you say. And that's important. Ask yourself, is your behavior godly? Is your attitude pleasing to the Lord? Does the outward reflect what's on the inside? And does the word of your witness and the word of your testimony go together like a hand in a custom-made glove? If we're ever going to overcome the evil one, we best be saved. We best have a testimony that tells others that we belong to Jesus. These people here that we read about in Revelation chapter 12 for 11 live for Christ, and that's why they were able to die for him. We need a verbal witness, but we also need to show others what great things the Lord has done for us. For what they see in us speaks louder than what they hear us saying. So just how is that word of your testimony? Is it being received or does it bring reproach? A question we each need to ask. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed.